Hey, good morning everybody. It's great to see you. Well, I can see those of you who are listening in the comments at the moment. Great to have you on board. Lovely for you to join us this morning. Huge, huge welcome to you. If this is your first time with us, welcome to EBC. It's not as we normally are, but it's good to have you joining us live in this way, either live or watching us later on this our Facebook page. But this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. That's what Psalm 118 says, and that's why we're here. So it's brilliant that we have this opportunity. So let's ask God to continue to be with us. So let's pray. So Father, this is the day which you have made, and we will rejoice in it. Because Lord, we can thank you. We know that you are here with us and you've given us this opportunity. So come Holy Spirit, come and take this time which we have. May it be to your glory. May you stir us in our minds and our spirits. And Lord, may we go from this time together better knowing you, deeper in our relationship with you. So Lord, we welcome you. We welcome you into our homes, into all that we are and all that we do. Come, Lord God, come and be with us, we pray. In Jesus' lovely and precious name. Amen. Okay, a few announcements, if I could. And here it's going to come. Yeah, September Soundbites, that's where we are. We're in September, and for those of you who are sort of looking in, you're probably thinking, what's this? Well, we're looking at the statements of Jesus, or just a few of the statements of Jesus, one a day throughout the whole month of September. And of course, we're a couple of weeks in now, and it's really exciting. I don't know about you, but I'm finding this, even though I'd set the whole thing up and chose the verses, absolutely brilliant. And it's really stirring my spirit, and I'm loving it. I'm loving it, and I hope you do too. Keep sticking with it. If you've not yet joined in, you can. If you go onto Emmanuel Baptist Church website and on the banners at the top, you'll see one about September Soundbites. Click on that banner. It'll take you to another page, and then you can look at the link. And then all the readings for each day are there. So do engage with this. It's a brilliant opportunity we've got. Okay, we're going to look at one a bit later today as well. Later this week, we've got our prayer time, and those of you who want to join that, if you leave again a comment in on this page, we'll make sure you get sent the link. But it's really good to be able to pray together, even though it be via technology. It is worthwhile. So if you've not yet joined our prayer time, then please, I encourage you to do that. And the same goes for our coffee time afterwards. And again, if you'd like to join us after the service here at 11:30, then you're welcome to do that. And again, just leave a note in the comments and we'll send you the Zoom code to get into that. So, brilliant. That's all I'm going to say. I'm supported very ably today, I have to say, by Mr. Ian Snell. It's really brilliant. But we've got a team of other people around. And one of the two specials who are helping us with all our worship at the moment is Adam and Joe. So I'm handing over to them for our opening worship. Thanks.
Good morning. I'm going to start by singing, Come, now is the time to worship.
Come, now is the time to worship. Now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you love to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Come. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Come, now is the time to worship. is the time to give. Just as you are to worship, come, just as you are before your God, come. One day every tongue will confess you are God, one day every knee will bow, still the greatest treasure remains for those gladly choose you now. One day every tongue will confess you are God, one day every knee will bow, still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Come, now is the time to mountains where I run, the fountain I drink from, oh, he is my son. Let the king of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life, oh, he is my son. You are good,
you are good. Girls and people of all ages at Emmanuel Baptist Church. My name is Richard Doherty. I'm the youth minister here, and each week in lockdown I've been sharing a short story or an illustration to help us understand the Bible. Now, as a church, we've been doing our September sound bites, and today's reading says this. This is what Jesus said: seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Now, my wife and I, as Christians, we've always found that God has given us everything we've needed. Not always what we've wanted, but we've always had what we've needed, and God's been good to us. But I have a confession to make, and that's that this week I wouldn't say I've really been putting God first or seeking his kingdom first in my life. As many of you will have heard, St Mark's Primary School was closed this week, and all my plans for work and the things I wanted to do have been up in the air. I've been looking after the boys, which has been really great, but a lot of the stuff I wanted to do, this blue bottle here, things I wanted to do, I've been putting above God. Now, I've got lots of jars here, and the yellow ones are God and his kingdom, and the blue are the things that I've wanted to do and the things that I've been worried about. And they're not always bad things, like my boys' health, like how things are going at school, all sorts of things like that. And what I've found is that I've been putting what I want first. Oh, I've got to put this cold on this one. Okay, I've been putting what I want first. I've been panicking a bit, and I've not been really reading my Bible like I should or praying like I should. I've been in a bit of a panic. I'm going to show you what's happened in my life. You see, the things I've wanted, how I've wanted to spend my time, my job, my career, things that I've been really excited about, I've definitely been putting first this week. And what's happened is, if I separate these together now, look at that. Everything's got mixed up. Because I've not been reading my Bible properly, because I've not been putting God first, everything's really confused, everything's a big mess. And actually, I've been feeling like a bit of a grump this week. And I know it's because I haven't been putting God first. Now, maybe you've been worried about school. Maybe you've been worried about going to secondary school, or, you know, all sorts of different things, whether your teachers will like you. Maybe as grown-ups, we've been worrying about a second lockdown or all sorts of things like that. But if we're putting other things before God, we get a big, confused mess. And what I want to show you is what Jesus is talking about. What Jesus says is that if we put first God's kingdom and live righteously, that means living the way God wants us to live, then it looks like this in our life. Oh. There we go. We put God first, and it puts a lid on all of the other things. We put God first, and we don't get this big mix and this big confusion that we've got over here. It helps us to feel right, it helps us to live right, and it helps us to know God better. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, above relationships, above money, above careers, above worrying about the future. And it's hard. But Jesus says if we put God's kingdom first, telling other people about Jesus, living the way God wants us to live, even when mum and dad aren't there to keep us in check, or grown-ups, even if the minister isn't around, living like Christians at work and at home, then God supplies everything else that we need. Now, these blue things that we want aren't always bad, but if they get on top and they come before God, you get a mess every time. Now, I've got absolutely no idea how I'm going to get rid of these bottles off my kitchen table without spilling 6 pints of food-coloured water everywhere. But I'm going to hand back to Mark now, and he's going to be looking at those words a little bit later. But let's remember to put God first. Amen.
Well, thanks, Rich. Yet again, what a creative way of putting that across. Superb. If you need rescuing out your kitchen, mate, because you've now covered in coloured water, just give me a beer. Anyway, we're going to hand to Adam now, who's going to lead us in the kids' song. So get your energy on, stand up, get involved. Here you go.
My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. The mountains are His, the rivers are His, the stars are His handiwork too. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. The mountains are His, the rivers are His, the stars are His handiwork too. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. So big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. The mountains are His, the rivers are His, the stars are His handiwork too. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do.
You two enjoyed yourselves there, didn't you? I can see. Well done, Joe. Very good, very good. Okay, it's great to catch up with people, and our friend Dougie has been out to have another chat with a couple of people who obviously we all know very well, and that's Philip and Mad. So over to you.
Gardening and doing all sorts of healthy exercises outside.
Yeah, we feel far younger than our age, definitely. Yeah. In fact, we call ourselves recycled teenagers.
Yes, it has, although I've missed everybody. And we haven't really ventured very far, have we? We've strolled out occasionally, observing social distancing, but actually we've kept really within our own homes.
Yeah, we've enjoyed just pottering around the home, doing a lot of gardening, which we have a lot to do always.
And Philip's family came down for a couple of weeks' holiday and stayed in Philip's house. And it was their complete family. There was about 16 people there altogether. But we just went and said hello briefly. But it was lovely to see them all together. The difficult thing, the most difficult, was the fact that actually we couldn't hug them or... You know, there were two little girls that I love, and I couldn't give them a hug or a squeeze or anything, but there we go. Yeah.
Well, we both agreed on this one as soon as Madge suggested it, and that was that we should live one day at a time.
Mm. Yes, I remember hearing a song when I was about, when I was a teenager, and it was One Day at a Time, Sweet Jesus. And I think really that's all we do, is one day at a time. Okay, we make plans for the future, and we hope we're going into the future, but we never know what's around the corner, do we?
So we enjoy today.
Yeah.
Basically, I'll start on this one, that we love listening to questions and answers on all the television programmes. That's our favourite television. Things like Tipping Point and The Chase.
Quizzes,
and
yes.
Even University Challenge.
Yes.
We love those sort of trivial questions.
Yes.
Because it just keeps you alive to the moment and broadens your understanding.
We even get something right.
Yeah, we do get even the University Challenge one once, didn't we?
Yeah.
But I personally have found that listening to like the Attenborough programmes, or especially Brian Cox, he raises lots of questions about the universe.
Mm.
And I love to hear his talks and to see how the scientific answers marry up with the scriptural revelation of creation and the world we live in. And it's so amazing how closely they align. They're bound to if they're both true. And I believe they are.
I think, well, we discussed it, didn't we? And we said that actually, when the children go up onto the platform in the church, I love it. The youngsters sometimes read, and they read so well and so confidently. And I'm in absolute awe, because when I was a child, actually, we didn't have a lot of confidence, and we didn't like to stand up in front of people. I love the young man, and you'll know who I mean, and I won't say any names, but he plays the guitar like Elvis, and he's only about this tall.
Oh, right.
He's wonderful. He does all the facial expressions. He gets his legs going. He's marvellous.
But there's a sort of a sincerity.
Oh, yes.
That comes through it all, even
yes,
though they're
yes.
young children.
Yes.
And it just reminds me that Jesus said that it was out of the mouths of
yes.
babies and
yes.
children
yes.
that God would perfect
yes.
praise.
Yes.
And I really believe that.
Yes.
And and that's what we're missing with not going to
oh,
church.
Oh, yes, yes.
Oh,
well, I miss everybody.
Yes.
Every single person. And I'm sure that when we get together again, I shall want to run up to them, every single one, and give them a hug. But I won't be able to.
Heal our nation.
Lord, we hear your spirit coming closer. A mighty wave to break upon our land. Bring in justice and forgiveness. God, we cry to you. His spirit and his love, let him fill your heart and satisfy your soul. Oh, let him have the things that hold you, and his spirit like a dove will descend. Thank you.
Thanks, Adam and Joe, as ever. Really appreciate your leading and your worship. So, as we've already been reminded by Rich, really cleverly, I have to say, never cease to be amazed, but very powerfully too, our soundbite for today is coming from Matthew 6, verse 33, and it says, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need." And of course, we, for those of us who know, this comes from the middle of what we understand or has been called the Sermon on the Mount, recorded from chapters 5 to, through to 7 in Matthew's Gospel. And it's a fantastic collection of teachings which Jesus gave to the people of the time, there on the Sea of Galilee, as it was, which are actually very significant and foundational for today, as in fact they were then. And our soundbite today and our verse appears at the end of what is really quite a challenging section of his teaching about how a disciple of Jesus needs to live life by a different set of values and priorities than those lived by those who live by the ways of the world. And Jesus identifies particularly some of the key things that humanity needs and gives very high priority to. They're very practical things, things which we need to live here on earth, but then challenges the fact that they must not become our central focus. Certainly, if we want to see the life and the kingdom of God in action and fulfilled in our lives. In fact, the whole sermon, chapters 5 through 7, is about the whole thing, the same thing. So let's read a section of that, if we can, from verse 19 through to 34. And it says this: "Don't store up treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep is that darkness is? No one can serve two masters. For you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest and store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon, in all his glory, was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wild flowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Wow. In this section of this sermon, and to help us, I believe, to understand where our soundbite sits in context, Jesus highlights particularly money and possessions and other human needs, such as the food and the clothes. And he identifies that although we need these things, there's a danger that the place that they hold for us and the motivation we have in attaining them will block us and block from us that experience of life which we were designed to actually have. Firstly, he uses the phrase treasures. Treasures. Because that's exactly what lots of money and material possessions can become to us. They become valuable and very, very important treasure. And because of this, they can easily become, we can be easily become driven to attain them, making it a whole life motivation. And for a lot of people, we see that. It's there, what's exactly what they live for, is to make more money and to gain more stuff. Which, of course, in turn determines how we spend our time and our energy. Being dominated by making more money and gathering big, huge, big fat bank accounts and gaining lots of material stuff, I tell you, it's not all that it's cracked up to be. Instead, Jesus says, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And he identifies that this passion, which we can so easily get caught in, to obtain stuff, which the world puts very high priority, can actually damage our sight and the way our whole outlook on life and how we see the things of life, causing you to live an unhealthy life. It drags us in to something which is not good for us. A life that eventually becomes darkness around us instead of light. Jesus' way is about changing those misplaced priorities to be focused on aspects that bring healthy minds and healthy spirits and release truly fulfilled life. Lives which actually are full of light, light with a capital L, God himself, so that we can then see the truth about what life is all about. He then picks up about this drivenness to attain money and possessions. And it also becomes a place of worry and stress, bringing anxiety and fear to the way we live our lives. So rather than being content and enjoying what we have, it becomes a source of angst to us. Whether that be caused by constantly striving for more and more, we've got to go out and get it, or by becoming increasingly worried that we might lose it. It might disappear. It might be stolen or destroyed. It could also even be motivated by the need to be accepted by others. That having a place of importance or a position within our world. Because that's what it seems to be. If you've got lots of stuff, you've got lots of money, you've got a place of influence. Yet Jesus explains very, very clearly that the natural world of creation clearly demonstrates that God takes care and provides all that it needs to live life. Without any striving, without any worry or drivenness to have more. They are already rich because of what God has made them to be. He illustrates that the plants, the trees, the birds, the animals naturally and instinctively just trust God to do that because that's what God does. He does it because he is that. He is the ultimate source of life. He is the provider and he loves us. And as human beings, who are even more important and the pinnacle of his creation, we don't need to worry. Because as far as God's concerned, he will provide. He knows all about the clothes which we need and the food we need to eat and the shelter we need over our heads. As long as We look to him and trust him as our creator. He will provide these things. And this is where it all boils down to in our soundbite verse today. That God and his kingdom needs to be our number one focus and our priority. And you know, that's hard for us because it works against the life and the things we see around us, particularly here in the West. Our energy, our time and our focus needs to shift from the desire to gain lots of more money and more stuff to being set upon looking to him and finding him and seeking him. It is an action and we need to be putting ourselves out. It's actually something we need to work at. But seeking him and seeking his kingdom needs to be our number one priority. And to turn from that worry and that anxiety and that stress about how it's all going to happen, how it's all going to work out. And if we do focus upon him, then we'll find our true security. We'll find that deep assurance of who we really are. We'll find our true identity because we're looking to God who created it and made it. And we will then know, because he loves us and he cares for us and he provides for each and every one of us, we will receive everything we need. He may test us in that process. He tests our faith. He may create within us patience. He might take us to the very edge in that whole process. But he will provide. It's one of his names, Jehovah Jireh. The Lord's provision shall be seen. It's part of who he is. Hallelujah. So this teaching in many ways is basic stuff for all of us. And how easy it is that we allow the devil to creep in, to tempt us, to take our eyes off God and kingdom things, deceiving us that actually we would, if only we would follow the way of the world and the way the world thinks, everything would be so much better and it would be all okay then, wouldn't it? Yeah, this is the enemy's ploy to distract us from our true calling and from our purpose under God. Shifting our priorities and causing us to slowly slip into the world's standards. While we live here on earth, this will be the nature of the battle as God's people, as disciples. There's going to be this tension. We will not avoid it, but we just need to realize in Jesus, we can overcome it. We put him first. I believe part of his provision will be to see us through the difficulties and the battle which we have. It's because we allow these things in the wrong position and wrong priority in our lives. That's when the battle really gets difficult. He will help us to find that right focus. And if we ask him, he will help us with our priorities. And I think this is what it's all about. It's living counterculture kingdom. That's what it is. It's a counterculture to the world in which we live. And we can do that by the power of God in us through this Holy Spirit. When we surrender our lives to him, the Spirit of God will fill us. And as we, each day, as we focus upon him and put God in his rightful place, then we will be filled. And he will give us the power and the strength to see his kingdom come in our lives. He promises that if we put our energy and our focus into firstly seeking the King of the kingdom, Jesus himself, and he says above all else in this particular translation, then he will give us all that we need. And he knows exactly what that is. It's such an amazing promise, you know. And it's one which many of us are familiar with, but do we live it? Not always. And what will he give us, I wonder? Will it be everything we ask for? No, it will be just what we need. Just what, in fact, is right for us to handle and deal with. Because we've all been made differently. He knows what we can handle and where things should be. Everything we need, it says. Not everything we want. Rich referred to that. All we need, this is an interesting phrase, is enough to live and enough to give. Enough to live and enough to give. Nothing more, nothing less. And having God in his rightful place in our lives and living in his, by his ways, and that's the righteousness, that's the righteous living which is referred to here in this verse, we will know and then we will receive the love and the care of God. It just will naturally happen for us. And that is the key of the promise. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously. God in his rightful place, and he will give you everything you need. Some people might actually say, but I've tried that, it doesn't work. Well, it makes me wonder who really is king of our lives when these things don't work. Rich gave testimony to the fact that God has done it for him and Laura and the family. God's done it for me and for Jen. And we've proven it time and time again. When we put God first, yes, it can be hard. Yes, it can be difficult. It's part of the battle. But we will win that victory. And we will see God provide in the most amazing and even miraculous ways. It's what God's promised. And it makes you ask the question, you know, why do we try and live our lives any other way but this way? I don't know. Apart from the fact that we are listening to that, you know, the lies of the enemy and the words of the of others in the world who've not yet found who Christ is. And I believe that's what it's about. So let us, at every point, every turn, in every situation that we face, the good and the bad, the known and even the unknown, let's surrender it all to God. Let's come to him. Let's pray. Let's give it all to him. Thank him when things are going really well and we've got lots, but asking him and surrendering ourselves to him at every point, even when we haven't got it. And let's tell him about it. The key to the release of stress and anxiety is about praying and asking and getting him to lead us and to guide us. We need to ask for his protection. We need to ask for wisdom to know the way forward, which steps to take and where to go. And we need to ask for his blessing and his hand upon us. And he has promised that he will do it. He will give you everything you need. And that's beyond the material. It's in every other dimension of our lives, in our relationships, how we can cope with circumstances which we face. He wants to do it. This is God's heart. He wants to do it. It's what he's promised. He longs to love and pour out his love upon us. And so he can release us then from our concerns and our anxieties, from our stress. That whole spirit, heaviness of spirit, will lift off us when God in his rightful place. So let's place everything in his hands, shall we? Let's knowingly put it all under his control. And we'll come away with that peace and we'll know God's provision. Let me lead us in a prayer if I can. Lord, may this soundbite from your word this day take deep and deep root within our lives. May it not just be a theory, may it become a real, living, active practice within us. Change, Lord, a whole way of thinking. Help us to stand against the constant bombardment in our world about having this and getting that and where value comes from. Help us, Lord, to trust and to know that you love us and you care for us more than we could ever, ever really know. So, Lord, I pray for us all. May we know this, may we receive it, may we live it. And may we, in that, in turn, give your kingdom and you as the king, the glory and the power within our lives. And therefore, sharing him with others in our world. So come, Holy Spirit, help us, I pray, to seek you and to seek your kingdom above all else. We pray, Lord Jesus, in your lovely and powerful name. Amen. Okay, plenty to digest there, isn't there? But we're going to sing a song about this kingdom, and Adam and Joe are going to lead us.
Thank you, Mark. We're going to finish with "Come Set Your Rule and Reign, Build Your Kingdom Here."
Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil while we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come invade us now. We are your church. We need your power in us. We seek your kingdom first. We hunger and we thirst. Refuse to waste our lives for your and prize. To see the captive heart, release the hurt, the sick, the poor at peace. We lay down our lives for heaven's cause. We are your church. We pray, revive this earth. Build your
today. It's been really good. Thanks for all the comments too. And if there's anything which God might have put his finger on, then I do want to encourage you, do get in touch. Drop me an email, leave a message in the comments, and I can get in touch with you. But let's do this journey. Let's see God's kingdom come. Isn't that what we all long for? Brilliant. And part of that is that we are going to share together. If you are around, you're local here within Swanage, then we have our 30-minute church this afternoon at 5 o'clock. So if you are around and able to come, there will be some restrictions. Those of you who are certainly members of the church will already know theirs, but it will be great for us to be able to gather in that way. Now, we've got one of our younger friends who's going to lead us in our grace today, and we've missed him actually because he does this so beautifully when we actually meet in person. But I'm going to let Leo bring our service to a close. Listen for the very end too. Thanks.
So may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forevermore. Amen. Tea and coffee and refreshments are available in your kitchen. God bless you all.